Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Business Engaged, the show that focuses on the topics that determine success for leaders in the world of small business. From marketing and advertising to operations and human resources, you'll hear techniques and solutions that you can apply to your business today. Now here's your host, the president of Soar with Eagles, a branding and marketing company for experts in all industries, Gary Perrin-Smith.
We have more tools than ever to attract and engage our potential customers, but these new tools require you to produce enticing and informative content about your business. In this episode of Business Engaged, I'll give you methods for attracting your target customer to your website and building your prospect database. You'll get ideas for great articles and social media updates that will engage your potential customers. And don't worry if you aren't a writer. You'll get some tips for creating different types of content and finding the right writing help. We also talk with Jack Pate. He's the manager of social and digital media for Tyson Foods. We'll talk about Vine, the new video application that is Twitter's new companion. Plus, he'll share wisdom he's gained over his years of experience in online marketing. And last week, I talked about my new book project. I'll share my process for writing the book and give you an update on my progress. Perhaps it will inspire you to write your own book. And if you're listening to this episode on the Blog Talk Radio website, click on the Business Engaged hyperlink under the show title. It'll take you to a page that shows all the ways that you can follow the show. That way you'll be the first to know when I schedule a new episode. Now, let's talk about attracting and engaging prospects using great content. Today we have so many new media tools that are helping us engage and attract prospective customers, as well as being able to keep up with our existing customers. Now, the timeless principles of following up with your customer have not changed. And of course, we can still use those time-tested methods of picking up the phone and giving somebody a quick call, or following up with an email or a handwritten note via postal mail. But these new tools give us some fun new ways to share content that we create about our company with people who might want to do business with us at some point. Now remember that people don't always do business with us the first time that they encounter us for all kinds of reasons. They may not have a need for our product or service, they may not be able to afford our product or service, or they may just not get what it is that we do and they need to spend a little more time with us. The nice thing about developing content is it allows us to follow up with something other than, "Are you ready to do business with me yet?" The thing that these new media tools allow us to do is to stay in front of our target customer on a more frequent basis. This ensures that they'll maintain that top-of-mind awareness so that when they actually have that need for our product or service, they'll remember us. And I can say firsthand that I am connected with people on social media because they're my friends. And because sometimes I want to keep up with them, I may subscribe to their email newsletter because I want to do business with them someday. And I can say firsthand that when I finally had that need, it helped me to be able to be connected to them on Facebook or Twitter where I would remember that they even exist. So it makes sense for us to be really intentional about the things that we post on Facebook or write on our blog or even put in an email out to our customers that we send on a regular basis. One of the typical issues that businesses have today is building that database of prospects. From a business owner's perspective, what we're talking about is building a permission database, and that is a list of people who have given you permission to market to them. Now, ideally, we don't want to just market. The idea with Web 2.0 or social media was to create that two-way interchange so that you can interact with your existing or target customer. So you might be asking, well, why do I need permission? Can I go buy a list of email addresses from a company who provides those? Yes and no. Now, when you think of a permission database, it's not just an email list that you set up within your mass email applications such as iContact or MailChimp. A permission database can be anybody who's given you permission inside an application. The people who like your Facebook page, for instance, are a permission database. The people who follow you on Twitter are a permission database. The people that you're connected to within LinkedIn are a permission database. And the thing to remember is that just because they've given you permission this one time does not mean that they'll always give you permission. But if you're a good steward of that connection and their time and attention, they'll continue to pay attention to what you have to say and give you permission generally to market to them. So you might be asking, why do I need a permission database? Well, there's this thing that the Federal Trade Commission has put together called the CAN-SPAM Act. And you remember a few years ago how we were just getting spammed to death from people all over the world once they got our email address. Well, the purpose of the CAN-SPAM Act was to give us some guidelines for when we are marketing via email or social media. And the CAN-SPAM Act prohibits us from just sending out mass emails just to anybody, just because we can. Now, I don't have time to go into all the details of the CAN-SPAM Act, but you really need to educate yourself about this. You can go to ftc.gov, and in their search field, type CAN-SPAM, and it'll take you to a video that will give you the information and some other links that can go into greater detail. Educate yourself on this, because the last thing that you want to do is to get tagged as a spammer by your internet service provider. Follow the rules to start with. Well, you might be asking, how do I get people into my permission database? Let me give you a few ideas, and most of these you can adapt to whatever business that you're in. Now, I work in the speaking industry, and as speakers, we will often send a clipboard around where we're speaking. We might be in a training class or in a smaller room of people. We can send around a sheet where they can sign up to be on our email newsletter. And that's a great way to get started. It's an easy sell there as well, because if they liked what you had to say while you were on the platform, they want to learn more from you. And so it gives you an entry-level way to keep in touch with them. One of your most important permission databases to build is your email list. And it makes sense to use emails of people that you already know to build that database. The first way is my preferred way, and that is to send a one-time email to people that you'd like to have in your email database and give them the option to opt in. When I've done an email newsletter, I've also forwarded that to this list to give them an opportunity to see what I usually send out. The other option that people choose that is a terrible idea is to just dump emails of people that you meet into your email list. And then they give them the opportunity to opt out if they want to. The reason that this is a terrible idea is that they, number one, didn't give you permission, so that's going to hurt your reputation. The second reason that it's bad is if they don't want it, then they're going to click the opt-out button, which in most email marketing programs means that they cannot add that email back in. And at some point, that person may want to do business with you but not be able to be on your email list. So it's much better to give them the choice to have the option to opt into your email rather than to just bombard them with spam. And recall that I said Facebook and Twitter also provide you permission databases. You can invite people to connect to you on Facebook and be your Facebook friend. If you have a Facebook page for your business, you can invite people to like your page. You can also purchase those Facebook ads that appear in the sidebar, and those can build your likes on your Facebook page as well. On Twitter, a lot of times people will follow people that they want to follow back. And if you're posting the kind of things that people are interested in, then the people that you follow are likely to turn around and follow you back. Another way to get people to opt in to your permission database if you're using an email marketing program is to provide great content on your website. People might be searching for a particular topic, and they might come to your website because it's got excellent search engine optimization. And once they're there, they might see that you have an email newsletter sign-up box. If you're like me, the last thing that I want is another email newsletter, but I can be provoked if they are providing me with a special report. And a special report is generally a short document, I would say under about 50 pages, that might have some information that I'm particularly interested in. Sure. I'll be glad to share my email address with you in exchange for that. And because I also understand that if they start bombarding me with too much email, I can opt out of the database. I still got the special report that had a lot of value for me. And so that leads me to my most important point of all, and that content is king. Above all, content draws visitors to your website, it shows evidence of your expertise, and it makes you an interesting individual so that people will want to keep paying attention to what it is that you are sending out to them, whether it's via email marketing or on Twitter or on Facebook or the videos, whatever. You want to give them a compelling reason to connect to you and to stay interested. The most important thing about developing content is that you need to know who you're marketing to. You have to know what their pain is and what they want to know so that you can make sure that you're relevant to them. And to really understand who you're marketing to, you need to back up all the way to your marketing strategy and say, who is my target customer? What is it that they want to know? And how would they prefer to get that information? I have a rule in communication that I will communicate to my customer in any way that they prefer to be communicated to. And today it makes sense that we provide our customers multiple ways to connect to us. Some people are more likely to be watching Facebook on a regular basis, and so it makes sense to post on Facebook. But you may have a different set of prospects that are connected to you on LinkedIn, and so you might want to post that same content out there. I always feel a little bit cheated when I'm connected to the same person on Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn and they post the exact same thing in all three places. People today consider their newsfeed to be precious. They don't always get a chance to read every single tweet of all the people that they follow on Twitter. And the truth is that LinkedIn is good for some things, Facebook is good for some things, and Twitter is good for some things, and those things may not all overlap. So I really kind of need to think through where we're posting our content. So I try to create some variations in the content that I'm posting in these different places. And of course, you've got different limits. In Twitter, you have 140 characters that you can do something with. But then you can also post a link to something else. If you've written a longer article that's on your website or a blog post, you can share that link within that 140 characters. I might share the same link on Facebook and expand that explanation. Facebook gives me a lot more space to be able to do that. The same with LinkedIn, it gives me more space. But I try to make sure that everything that I put on LinkedIn is professional and high value. On Facebook and Twitter, I'm going to be a little bit more whimsical. I may have this high content post about my business, and then in another post I might talk about where I'm going to go with my family later that day, or what the weather's like, or post a picture of my dog Jasmine laying upside down on the kitchen floor while I'm cooking. That kind of thing shows that you're human. Let's talk a little bit more about blog posts. Some of the most brilliant people that I know cannot string six words together, let alone six grammatically correct sentences together for a blog post. But consider this for your blog post. It doesn't have to be this 900 or 1200 word article. It can be 100 words about a phone call that you had with a potential customer and how you talked through this issue that they had. And maybe include a few follow-up thoughts that you had after that phone call, just to share with those people that might have that same need that that other customer has. It can be a simple photo of a project that you're working on with a description. Sometimes I see a blog post that is nothing more than a question, because with a blog, you can open up your posts or articles for comments. That gives people a chance to comment on your article. So you could ask a simple question, and then on those comments, you can reply to keep the conversation going. So you're still creating interesting content out, you're just allowing people to participate in that process. What I like about blogging is that it gives people a chance to write some content that can become the foundation for longer articles or those special reports or even a book. It gives people a chance to get that content out there and then sort of audition it so that people who follow them get a chance to comment on it and provide feedback. That can give you some really useful ideas. and kind of open up your eyes to some potential products or services that you aren't providing that perhaps you should. And so you might be saying, I'm that person who can't string six words together. Well, there's a lot of help that's available to you. Through my publishing company, I work with clients who struggle with that. If they can type up their information or at least have a phone conversation with me, that gives me a chance to get their ideas together and edit it into something and send it back to them. For many people who speak or don't have time to simply write their own content, but they have the content ready to go in their head, that can be a really good option. And sometimes it's a lot better use of your time to pay somebody to edit your content and get it ready and make you look awesome in written form than it is to try to muddle through that process yourself. There are a lot of professional editors out there these days, and with the internet, we can work with people anywhere. The goal of all of this conversation is to create content that brings people to your website, that raises the awareness of what you have to offer to your prospects and your customers, because you never know when they're going to finally have that need, and this is going to allow you to maintain that ever-important top-of-mind awareness. One of my favorite social media tools is Twitter, and like any social media tool, you use it different ways. Well, just recently, Twitter rolled out an application called Vine, and so I wanted to give you a little bit more information about that so you can kind of figure out how we use this in our regular business. I have with me today Jack Pate. He works for Tyson Foods. He is their manager of social and digital media. Welcome, Jack.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
What do we need to know about Vine?
You know, Vine is new, and everyone's trying to figure out how to use it. I think from a consumer perspective, anytime we hear about how companies are going to use social media against us, we kind of get scared. You know, they're going to be marketing to us in our favorite channels. From a marketing perspective, I think we need to take that into consideration. Vine, like Twitter, is based on user-generated content. And when we think about marketing to people, we need to think about how marketers can engage our brand and not necessarily how we engage our consumers.
What's so interesting about it is that we get 6 seconds of video.
Right. That doesn't sound like a lot, but if you've had an opportunity to browse the content on there, it's fascinating the way people have constructed videos that are coherent within that 6-second time frame. I think there's great opportunities for fans of our brands to generate content that shows their passion for our products and do that within the constraints of 6 seconds. Just anecdotally, I happened to be at the horse track this weekend at Hot Springs, and I noticed in their marketing materials it said that horse racing is the only sport where the players are in the stands. And I think the same thing applies to channels like Vine. You have to recognize that the biggest opportunity for your business is to generate excitement among your fans to create content around your brand and not necessarily to aim social media content at them and market directly to them. And that's easier said than done, obviously.
Now, I know for the everyday user, we're probably trying to create 6 seconds with our iPhone. Are you seeing businesses out there or users creating video that's more post-production?
I think that's part of their strategy in launching it right now so that it's only really produced in your phone, in your mobile device. They're not giving you a lot of tools to make it too slick. You know, that's going to take some of the shine off for a lot of people who are used to doing a lot of post-production in their social media marketing.
I work in the speaking business, and I remember when I first got into the business 8-9 years ago, the industry was at that place where we expected everything to be post-production video. Now, what I have found in the last few years is people are expecting video at lower price points, but they are perfectly happy with YouTube video, which is not post-production quality.
No, absolutely. And you see on-the-spot news now, Twitter is being used by normal people to report news events. People have come to expect a homey feeling when they view video that's generated by their peers. There's an authenticity to amateur-produced video that people are beginning to recognize and identifying with it. Like, that's something I could have done.
I see a really good opportunity for, like, realtors to do a 6-second 360 in a room as they go through a house.
Absolutely. You can't forget that the 6-second limitation is only for one video. You could easily string together a series of videos, maybe explaining steps on how you use your product or your service, or stringing together a narrative that shows how the product is used.
Yeah, and definitely to take those videos later that have downloaded to your phone and upload them to your blog so that they're available for others to view.
Right.
In Twitter, you follow and have followers. Is Vine the same way?
It is. You can search via hashtag or users. Vine has done a good job on their launch by giving people suggested videos, editor selections, showing you what can be done.
So what do you think that you'll see businesses start to do soon with it?
Well, they're going to try to market directly first. That's our natural instinct, given traditional marketing, is to figure out how we can talk to consumers. As that evolves, they'll begin to listen to consumers and give consumers a voice. And that's when I think the magic will happen with Vine in a marketing context.
I know when I go into a Walmart store and I'm shopping and I see a really clever product, I'll post about it on Twitter while I'm shopping. Mm-hmm. That's just something I think is fun. And I think there's a really good opportunity for other companies to put that power into the hands of the consumer to really talk about their brand. I saw one of the people that I follow on Twitter and Vine, they were at the bowling alley the other night, and they put together a really funny dance video at the bowling alley. This particular bowling alley has got a really fun interior. It's dark with disco lights at night. So it was really a fun chance to see how cool that bowling alley was in there and think, I should go do that.
Consumers want to feel passionate about the brands they love. And unfortunately, traditional marketing doesn't really give them that hook. Social media does. Using Vine, I can see consumers interacting with brands and showing how they love the brand. Look at the example over this on the Super Bowl, the famous Ram truck ad, God Made a Farmer.
Yeah.
I think that tapped into something that maybe that brand wasn't aware of, that people really felt passionate about it in a way they haven't explored. And Vine gives marketers and businesses an opportunity to explore that. What passion do my fans feel about my brand that maybe I wasn't aware of?
What I really liked was the fact that it really gave me an entry level into video. I've heard for a long time that the future of social media is going to be video, but I think many of us don't have a comfort level with being the center of attention on video, and 6 seconds gives us a chance to kind of warm up into a medium like YouTube.
I agree. There's no penalty for failing with a 6-second video. You're not investing a whole lot in terms of a production cost or intellectual capital. So I think it's a great venue for people to experiment, maybe if they haven't gotten into video before.
So, Jeff, you've been in social media for a while. What's your favorite social media tool?
Right now, Facebook has a lot of traction with our core demographic. Twitter is skewing younger. My favorite social media tool is still face-to-face, I would say.
Yeah, I have to admit that that's got to be my favorite as well. While I was so busy, it was nice to be able to keep up with my friends on Facebook. But I really miss that ability to get face-to-face and have that two-way conversation.
Social media, by definition, is a terrible marketing tool. It's a great way to organize people socially. And that's what we as marketers need to recognize, is that we can't energize a fan base by marketing to them. We have to give our fan base the tools to show their passion about our brand and to share that with their peers. We know from research that peer recommendation is the number one thing people use now when they're buying products.
Well, and I know that's the case for me because I simply don't have time to research it, even though I've got more research tools on the internet than ever. I bought 2 books this weekend. Based on my search criteria, I ended up on a blog where they were talking about the books.
Mm-hmm.
I immediately said, that's exactly the book I need. I would probably never wander around Amazon.com looking for that topic long enough, but this blogger's recommendation made a huge difference. And blogging is a huge piece of social media.
Yes, it is. All of us have hobbies, and we spend a lot of time online researching those hobbies. And I'm amazed about how many forums and user groups and blogs there are about the brands that I love, but there's no connection there with the actual brand itself. Brands need to figure out how to harness that. There's a lot of energy out there that consumers have created that they haven't even begun to tap.
Even having built my own social media presence myself, I find it's almost a full-time job just to try to integrate everything and keep it up to date and make sure that the message is congruent with what I'm trying to say about my business today.
And if you're using Twitter or Vine by extension, that's a very, very active environment. You need to be prepared to have content that's on a regular basis, at least daily. Hey, I want to go back to one of your original points.
Okay.
as marketers, we need to realize that when we create marketing content, we are creating friction for the user. So we need to be very, very aware that whatever we put out there about our products needs to have some value over and beyond just the marketing message. It needs to be entertaining in some way, informative in a way that people want to share with their friends. The primary goal in social media cannot be just to sell the product anymore. It has to be participating in that social environment.
Exactly. And the opportunity to get feedback is so powerful. I've heard of many companies who use their Facebook pages to interact and get feedback from the consumer, and they're actively doing it.
Yeah, and you can see how Vine would definitely fit into that, how people could give six-second reviews or six-second complaints.
Ah, that's a good idea. And a scary idea.
It's terrifying, isn't it?
It is. That's much more than 140 characters.
It is. And to think that we actually have control over that as brand is just crazy. I mean, the people who use social media channels as part of their daily lives, they control the message now. We just need to make sure that we're there to answer their questions and to hold their hand when they are talking to us as brands.
That's right. And be paying attention to what people are saying about us online.
Absolutely.
All right, Jack. Well, thanks for being on Business Engage today.
Thanks for having me.
If you listened to last week's episode on creating fans for your brand, you caught my segment on doing some planning for my business, which includes the planning for a new book. Since I needed some accountability, I decided that I would share my progress and some of the content along the way with my listeners. My hope is that it will give many people who have always wanted to write a book the inspiration and the knowledge so that they can do it. With all the advances in the publishing industry in recent years, the problem today is not getting your book published, it is getting it written. When I coach writers through the journey, I tell them to begin with the end in mind. Who is your target reader and/or buyer, because the two may be different? What do they want to know, and what are they willing to pay for? This not only helps you plan the content of the book, but it also sets the stage for your marketing strategy. You can write this book for you, and it's great therapy, but without a plan to sell it, it won't ever become a revenue stream. My book is going to be on building confidence because it is such a barrier to success in those I've coached and mentored over the years. I developed some tools to help them build that confident image. Now it's time to share them. My target reader or buyer is the professional who is interested in advancing their career. I realize this person could be unemployed. They also could be underemployed because they had to take a lesser job when their job gap outlasted their unemployment benefits. Then I brainstormed my topics for the book. I pulled what I could from my keynotes and articles and then added topics. And then I went to my favorite place to gather feedback, Facebook. Some of my friends' ideas included low self-esteem causes fear and feelings associated with being laid off. Some new ideas to me, though, related to working with or living with people who berate you and coming to a new country and being unsure of all the customs. My Facebook friends also weighed in on solutions to building confidence, and that's going to help me as well. You might be asking, should I worry about sharing my ideas on Facebook? Won't somebody steal them? Sure, I guess they could, but I know personally how challenging it is to write a book and how few people actually finish the journey. Besides, most authors end up selling and marketing their own books anyway. I always figure there's plenty of book buyers out there if you've developed a smart marketing strategy for reaching your target market. Stay tuned for my next step in the process. As I close out episode 42 of Business Engaged, I want to remind you to tell your friends about us. Visit our website at businessengaged.com to catch up on our past shows. And while you're there, sign up for our weekly email update, Business Engaged Direct. Blog Talk Radio gives us some tools to connect as well. If you're listening on the Blog Talk Radio website, just click on the Business Engaged hyperlink under the show title. It'll take you to a page that shows all the ways that you can follow the show. And never worry if you miss a show or just want to listen again. The show is available for download about an hour after it airs the first time on blogtalkradio.com. You can also find it on iTunes under podcasts. Remember that you can connect with Business Engaged on Twitter and Facebook, and take a moment and share the link to this show with your Facebook friends and Twitter followers. They'll be glad you did.
Thanks for listening to Business Engaged, hosted by Carrie Perrin-Smith. She's the president of Soar with Eagles, a company that designs branding and marketing strategy for speakers, consultants, candidates, and executives who want to be positioned as experts in their industry. You can find out more about Carrie and her company at soarhire.com.